House Committee on Revenue and School Finance Subcommittee on Income Tax, agenda for 3/21/85, 8:30 a.m., Hearing Room A. Public hearing and work session on HB 2011, HB 2163, HB 2165, HB 2236. This is tape 137, side A.
Order. Apparently, Representative Hamlin is in the building in another meeting, so we're going to proceed without him. We have two carryover bills, but we want to start dealing. We're going to take testimony first relative to the work the CPAs have been doing, and we're going to start out with their testimony, and then we'll hear from the Department of Revenue and anyone else that signed up to testify. At 10 o'clock, we're going to close the hearing on that portion of today's events and deal with the issue that Bill Love brought before us.
Sure.
Well, we're glad you're here. Rob, no, we're going to take them at 10.
Oh, okay.
10. So we're going to start with the CPAs.
Good morning.
Thanks.
My name is Rob Douglas, here today representing the Oregon Society of Certified Public Accountants. Our appearance here today represents our continuing commitment to the Oregon legislature to help the legislature conform to the federal tax code wherever possible. We believe conformity is a good policy for the following reasons. It eliminates unnecessary confusion. It eases preparation of Oregon returns, and very frankly, from our standpoint, it removes some rather unnecessary malpractice traps that may exist for the tax practitioner. The blue booklet before you is the work product of the State and Local Taxation Committee of the Oregon State Society. To my thinking, this is the best work product that the Society has produced to date. We have continually tried to convince the legislature of the wisdom of conformity. This booklet, I think, represents a thorough discussion of what that would mean conforming to the federal tax code at this time. With me is Doug Henney, chairman of the State and Local Taxation Committee, and he will describe for you some of the work that went into this presentation and the rationale behind it.
The report that we put together is primarily analysis of the 1984 Tax Act. What we were going by was the fact that you had already determined where you wanted to be as of 82. We really didn't touch too many of the modifications as of that time. What we attempted to do, though, was to analyze all of the thousands of changes that happened in the 1984 Federal Tax Act, determine whether it made sense to adopt them for Oregon, and assuming that we did want to adopt them, what would be required in order to implement the change. On most of the items, it was simply a matter of just rolling forward the conformity date. But there were a few areas, particularly where in the statutes it refers to a particular federal code section, where we actually had to modify that statute section in order to implement the update. There are a few other areas which, excuse me.
Could you repeat that last phrase?
Okay. Some of the areas in ORS 316, 17, and 18 refer to a specific federal code section.
Oh, okay. I'm with you.
And those have to be separately modified in order to implement the change.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we've done is in the front of this booklet, noted the specific ORS sections which have to be updated, and then everything else should be accomplished just by a roll forward of the effective date. There are some areas which we did not take a look at in this. Certain areas in the foreign area, which have a lot of political ramifications, we didn't feel like touching. We didn't get into the estate and gift area, but I think most everything else we tried to touch and see what the impact would be at Oregon. We're also recommending that Oregon adopt the same effective date as for federal. If you take a look at the Federal Tax Act, there are five pages of effective dates. It would be extremely difficult to make sure we adopt all of those for Oregon on a piecemeal basis. It would be very difficult to deal with in preparing returns and doing planning, and for taxpayers to know exactly what's happening. I think it's very important to adopt the same effective date for Oregon as for federal. Okay, the methodology was, there's a lot of work that went into this, and so what we did is we got 8 or 10 of the accounting firms around the state, split up different sections of the Federal Tax Act, and let each firm do an analysis of that area of the 84 Tax Act. Then we all met, discussed those, and came to a joint conclusion on every item in the book. Then we went back and modified it and came with a product which the society and the state and local committee could all agree with. I know each firm spent many, many hours putting it together and did the very best we could in really trying to see that the thing was done right and totally thorough.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Hugo.
Mr. Henney, emphasis on the statutes is really good. I'm just curious about the administrative rules section where, as the federal tax code changes and we connect at some point in time, your suggestion here is that the administrative rules can remain in place in total. Is that correct?
Am I reading that correct? Yes, huh?
So no, you don't see any change for administrative rule changes or need to change administrative rules?
Correct.
Okay.
I'm trying to write down and talk. How long has your committee worked on this? It's obviously massive.
We've been thinking about it for quite some time. We actually sat down and started writing it about 2 months ago.
I just really appreciate your efforts.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative True?
Through our staff, I followed quite closely the development of this document. The Tax Reform Act of 84 was, 1,000 pages or whatever?
Quite long, yes.
And they did dole that out to a lot of the major firms in Portland to try to get a collective effort toward this, and I certainly concur with your comments that this is a very well done piece of work, and it's very helpful to have this done for us, especially given the new system that we're operating here. We freeze the base and update it every 2 years, and I think it's an extremely good public-private partnership that we have on this particular activity to have them do this. And we're very fortunate to have that kind of expertise at our fingertips. And very appreciative that you've gone through the amount of time and work required to do this. You've given us just a very good baseline to begin our consideration this session. Certainly appreciate it, too.
Senator Chairman.
Representative Scone.
Doug, how many firms participated in this?
I can quickly tell you
just roughly.
Exactly. I suspect there were about 8 to 10.
Madam Chairman, I'd suggest that we consider sending a letter of thank you to the firms.
I was going to say, yes.
Can you give us a list of those things?
Sure.
The committee would like to thank you for the firms. We really are indebted for the work you've done.
Any description of these businesses for me?
Steve has asked if we want a description of the proposals. That might have not hurt if it's... Do you want to do that briefly?
Excuse me?
The page after the members of the conformity subcommittee. Perhaps a brief description of what that page indicates.
Okay. This page is the list of the statute sections which we found needed to be specifically modified in order to adopt the roll forward of the conformity date.
Madam Chair?
Representative True?
I think something that would be very helpful, I had the opportunity to meet with these gentlemen and a couple of other folks last week, and it might be helpful if we look at the standard recommendations page. Did you do that? Did I miss that?
You
might want to look at the standard recommendations page and spend some time in describing the different classifications of recommendations and how it's organized in the book.
Okay.
I think what we need to understand is, I guess number one specifically, how you approached the construction of this body of work here, and what the classification of recommendations are, and then maybe give us a recommendation on how you think we might want to proceed in addressing these various recommendations A through M. Get the drift of the question?
Mm-hmm, I think so. Okay, what we tried to do was separate the 84 federal tax changes, plus there were a few minor tax law changes, particularly in 83, which we've also taken a look at in the back. For each one of those changes, those federal changes, we have grouped them into 8 categories. And if I can quickly go through the categories, maybe it'll help you understand what we're trying to accomplish. What we did for each one of the changes include the federal code section, which was changed, the 84 federal act section, which implemented the change, a brief description of what the change is and how it impacts Oregon, and generally how it impacts federal also, and then our standard recommendation. Okay, let me quickly go through the recommendations. Most of the federal changes we have coded in A, which is which means by simply rolling forward the conformity date, the change will be implemented for Oregon. Nothing else needs to be done. Okay. Recommendation B is our items which occur at the federal level after the computation of taxable income. At the present time, Oregon's tax law adopts federal taxable income, makes modifications, and then computes tax. There are some areas which do affect federal tax after taxable income, such as credits, tax calculations, other areas like that. They're particularly credits, though, federal tax credits. Recommendation C deals with tax preference items. Oregon has its own definitions of tax preference items and deals with them slightly differently in some cases than federal does. It's a separate area in the statutes, and that area is going to have to be, those items are going to be separately thought about and determined if it makes sense to implement them or not. Recommendation D concerns the areas which are administrative in nature, penalties, reporting requirements, those sorts of things, of which Oregon has its own separate set of rules. We really have no recommendation on those. We're just noting them and leaving them as is. Recommendation E is our items which affect corporate NOLs, net operating losses. There are separate rules at the Oregon level for corporate net operating losses, and Oregon has not necessarily followed in the past federal net operating loss rules, and so those are areas which you may want to consider, but we're not necessarily suggesting. Areas, recommendation F, are areas which in the past Oregon has not followed, and we're not necessarily recommending a change. There are areas such as ACRS deductions in lieu of depreciation. In this publication, we're making no recommendation, although we certainly would appreciate getting rid of those differences. recommendation G are those areas of which we are not making recommendations. Areas such as estate and gift taxes, certain foreign taxes such as foreign sales corporations. And then the last and probably most important is what we have called the M's. These are areas in which modification will be required in order to implement the change.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Hugo.
I don't know how to refer you, Doug, to the section I'm looking at, but toward the second part is the last section. It deals with Social Security Amendments of 83 on the Oregon Roll Forward.
Mm-hmm.
The recommendation is G, which is no recommendation, C, specific comments. Where I can't seem to locate the comments that I'm supposed to see. Is this whole discussion is the comment on the Social Security Act?
Yes, it is. With regard to the Social Security Act, we knew that there was a lot of pressure in the legislature to not adopt the federal taxability of Social Security. And so in light of that, we're not making a separate recommendation.
Okay.
You look this if you have another question.
No. Obviously, you can't take a policy position in the book, so mm-hmm. I'm not going to ask you whether we should tax Social Security benefits. What I'm asking is, your organization going through all the tax changes, you're just noting that the 1980 that Social Security will be in the taxable income for federal government, and you're just making no recommendation on that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Right.
Okay. I wondered, Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Hugo.
Doug, do you have any method of showing us or pointing out the M's to us? Are they flagged anyway, or we can just go through section at a time, I suppose?
Besides being, they're summarized right towards the front. Third page. It's entitled Oregon Revised Statutes Requiring Change in Order to Adopt Tax Reform Act of 84.
Okay. These are the M's.
Those are the M's.
Okay.
That we might understand what you've done, why don't we take a couple of, say the first two examples. Show us how where they are in the book so we can use this book properly. Show us how this relates to the booklet itself.
Okay, you're referring to the modifications?
Mm-hmm.
Oregon Revised Statutes Requiring Change in Order to Adopt, that page.
Okay. I apologize for not putting page numbers on here, but the standard recommendations are typically off to the right-hand side. If you go to the first section following the three introductory pages,
mm-hmm.
second page.
That does have a page number at the bottom.
Page
section.
Two.
Mm-hmm. 44A, yeah, right.
And that's referring to the Child Dependent Care Credit. Okay. What's happening with this area is that the ORS refers to a specific federal code section. Some changes were made to that code section, and in addition, the code section number has been changed. And so it really won't make a whole lot of sense if it's not changed in addition to a roll forward.
Okay.
It also, Madam Chair,
mm-hmm.
it also appears as a definition change mm-hmm. in a dependent child, a significant definition change. So we have to adopt that definitional change as well?
Right.
Okay.
Is the next one necessary?
Well, Madam Chair.
Yes?
Doug, is the code section the new code section or the old code section?
It's a new code section.
So the next item, child care credit, that's at the bottom of page 2, is that correct?
Yes.
No.
Mm-hmm.
don't know where it is. Oh, I see.
What about this?
Yeah.
Steve, can I ask a question? Are these, the way we have our bills, our interim bills drafted, do they, any on the reconnect bill, does that reconnect bill incorporate these changes?
The child care and elderly credits, yes, I believe it does.
I'm referring to all the M's.
Oh, all of the M's? I'm not sure. I haven't had a chance to go back and do a comparison, but it would include most of them.
Okay.
Would the committee like to go down that list? It's the second page, the child care credit.
I'm really interested in the payment in kind wheat program. No, Madam Chair.
I think it would be helpful if you did just take that time to go down this list to have some explanation of their specific recommendation in each of these sections.
Madam Chairman.
Yes, Representative
Scott. On page 32, the code sections suddenly changed to HEFRA with a code number. What does that mean?
I believe that these are those are act sections in the what do they call it, Tax Equity and Fiscal Responsibility Act, which came out in
okay. I sort of suspected that. And of course there's a blue page then, and then we start in a new code section, and the items, the description items, start over with one again. What's the significance of that? Or is the worth of each accounting firm divided by the blue pages?
Yes, some accounting firms did more than one section. The blue pages separate sections. And I tried to where I could separate them out, but that wasn't always done. Okay, excuse me, what was your question again?
Well, I was just trying to figure out what the different sections in the book were and how, again, getting back to the question that the comment that Karen Burroughs made, how to use the book. And so after page 32, then we begin a new section in the book. It begins with new code sections and a new order of items. It starts over with 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, that gets into a separate area of the tax code. What we've done is we've broken it down into, for example, individual changes, business changes, leasing changes. There's about 10 separate areas we've broken this down into. What the blue pages and the separate numbering system gets into is a change in area of the 84 Tax Act.
If I may help on that, perhaps after the page that has the revised statutes requiring change in to adopt, there is an index page. So the index page refers to each of the sections separated by the blue pages?
Yes.
So, using the next page.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Hugo.
Obviously, we're all going to spend a lot of time reading, but in Section 2, then, of your index, depreciation credits and subchapter S's, what you're saying, in fact, on your recommendation is A, which requires no change. Yet the last sentence of your description says Oregon should conform to federal subchapter S rules, as this will add simplification. There's a discussion here of the differences between the two. So does that mean we have to take a conscious action to do something, or is your recommendation A, not to do anything?
Our recommendation A, the section is fairly generic. Recommendation A in this area means that with regard to depreciation and credits, the ORSs have their own separate definition intentionally, and we're not a roll forward. will not affect those, and we don't intend for that to happen. With regard to the S corporation rules, a roll forward will affect the S corporation rules as we are recommending.
Okay.
Could we go back? After child care, you've listed elderly tax credit. Apparently that's the page after child care credit. Could you tell me if there's any policy changes in the elderly tax credit? Are you suggesting?
It's on page 3 of the first section.
Right. We're suggesting you follow the federal law in that the changes in this area were not major, but they're the kind of things that would be very confusing, particularly to the people that this is intended to get to, the unsophisticated elderly. We're trying to prepare the returns. And so for them, we're trying to have Oregon laws particularly be as simple as possible. And the federal credit does make it slightly easier to get the credit for certain people. We think in this case it makes sense, you know, to add the simplification and to adjust the credit accordingly. This is an area where Oregon adopts is directly specifically tied to the federal code section. So we're going to have to modify the ORS in order to implement that.
Could we briefly discuss, I think it's on page 4, the disability income exclusion? Hilda, you have a yellow felt pen.
What this section does, it's new federal code section 22, allows certain disabled people a federal tax credit, and it'll be the same credit as allowed for the elderly.
Okay. Is there any questions from the committee? Doug, I know that you were chairman of the committee. Is there a portion that you particularly worked on that you would want us to be familiar with? It's unfair to ask you questions when maybe another firm worked on
that. Yeah, that section was done by another firm. The ones that I specifically wrote up were the areas on trusts, partnerships, and foreign corporations. But there are no modifications required in that area. We're specifically suggesting that, particularly with regard to the trusts and partnerships, that the Oregon rules be the same as federal rules.
Okay. Yes, Representative
Scott. Doug, in one of those sections back here under pensions and fringe benefits, the term cafeteria plans is utilized. Could you explain to us a little bit about just what that means?
I wish someone would explain that area to me.
I asked that question in committee yesterday.
Isn't that where we have what the employer offers a range of benefits that the employee selects? Well, I think so. One from column A, one from column B.
I believe so. I think it's where the employees have a selection of various different, you know, they pick two of a number of different benefits.
That was a question I asked in committee yesterday, and I was very embarrassed with I obviously did not know the answer.
That's true.
Representative Schoon.
Also in the same section on IRAs, what is the federal treatment for IRA purposes of non-working spouses now?
For federal purposes, a non-working spouse
Can they or can't they
have IRAs above the $225.
I think it's still $225. I'm not totally positive. I think that's what the current rule is.
Is there any other questions? Deb, we want to appreciate you for our new bedside reading.
Enjoy. Just to sum up the society position, we would encourage you to conform to these changes. Some arguably might cost the state a little bit of money. Others will gain the state some dollars. We would encourage you to conform to all of those and also conform to the federal effective date, not to adopt a single effective date, but where, in fact, the feds have used a range of dates, that Oregon should use those same dates as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you again for all your efforts. We appreciate it. Verlina? I don't know who you want to bring with you. There's a variety of names.